Well, this week, an end of an era. The ABC's International Service, otherwise known as Radio Australia, announced that it will cease shortwave broadcasting from the end of January next year. Radio Australia's shortwave transition started in 1939. Peter Marks is our regular technology correspondent. He's a shortwave enthusiast since a little boy has been sitting on his bed with crystal sets, haven't you, whatever they are?
That's absolutely true.
Why was shortwave broadcasting, why was it important?
Look, shortwave is very efficient as a mode of communication. The Earth is bathed in a wind of particles emitted by the sun, and these particles ionise the upper atmosphere, forming a highly reflective concave mirror around above the Earth that can bounce signals around the curve of the planet. This means that low-cost radios with shortwave bands can pick up stations thousands of kilometres away. It's a very cheap, low-tech kind of solution. These low-cost receivers have the ability to run on battery or solar power. That means that even in poor communities, people can listen in. Now, Radio Australia's service was important in the past at times like the occupation of East Timor from 1975 to 1999, and after the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami in 2004, when correspondent Liam Cochran arrived on the island of Eremango in the wake of Cyclone Pam in 2015, he was surprised to find the good shape the people were in, given that the island was one of the hardest hit. And he said it was because they knew the cyclone was coming as they heard it on Radio Australia shortwave.
Well, that really does show how important it is. Over the years, there's been some high-profile examples of things being picked up on shortwave radio. I think it's shortwave radio anyway, that people hadn't necessarily wanted to be picked up. I think Peter Costello might have been involved in discussions, or was it Jeff Kennett, one of them?
Anyway, I mean, unfortunately, the alternatives like local FM broadcasting are liable to be shut down. And, you know, this idea that we can replace shortwave like this doesn't stand. In Fiji, of course, Frank Bainimarama did this when he turned off the FM service, when he didn't like what was being said locally in 2009. There are some possible options on the horizon. One idea is that we could get internet direct services from high in the sky. We've seen Google Loon, and recently, Elon Musk's SpaceX program requested permission to operate 4,425 low Earth orbit satellites to provide high-speed global internet services. So maybe the future is some sort of, you know, broad internet service. But the problem, of course, is that the receiving technology will be more expensive and the sets aren't there. Shortwave has been being updated. There are some digital options, and the two main options in play at the moment are one is the transmission of high-quality audio called Digital Radio Mondiale, and that's being used by RNZI Radio New Zealand, so they were able to find money for this. The other thing is to use shortwave for digital data transmission, and the Voice of America VOA Radiogram program currently experiments with that, and that one's actually quite interesting because now the cost of computers, of course, is very low. It means that it can get through even when the signal is being jammed.
So if the internet gets knocked out or censored, we don't have this kind of shortwave radio capacity anymore. How will people get the news?
Well, that's a good question. And I mean, it's not just, I guess the two cases, natural disaster and, of course, things like the local government perhaps not liking what's being there. So, yeah, the internet it's fantastic, but it's brittle. And FM broadcast, if there's a cyclone, that's one of the first things that gets blown over.
Okay. Internet is brittle, but it is fantastic. Last week on the program, we were talking about Amazon Go, this notion that it's going to come here and have an impact on the world of online shopping, supermarket shopping in particular. But from the technology side of things, Peter, what can you tell us about Amazon Go and how this could work?
So the idea, just to recap, is that this is a shopping, like a supermarket with no checkout.
Yep.
So you beep on with a smartphone app, you just walk around the shelves, taking items, putting them in your bag, and when you're finished, you walk out the door.
What if you change your mind? What if you go, I want that lamb chop, and then you say, oh no, actually I'm going to have fish this week?
So Amazon has been working for a long time on machine intelligence, machine learning, to do things like recommend other products that you might like based on your past behaviour. Now, they're going to use a combination of computer vision, which is cameras watching you in the aisle, and they'll recognise that you've taken something off the shelf or put something back onto the shelf. They're also going to use RFID tags, those tags that are currently only used for detecting that someone's accidentally walking out of a shop without paying for something. Well, the cost of those tags has come down so far now that it's likely we'll be able to add them to all products, much as we have barcodes printed on them. And they're also using other techniques They call it sensor fusion. So they're going to use things like the weight of the product being added or removed from a shelf and a bunch of other, you know, vision systems. So look, you know, the future is not bright for cashiers, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we thought self-checkout was a challenge. This is a whole nother order of it, isn't it?
That's right. And cashiers are the second largest occupation in the US, employing 3.5 million people. So unfortunately, this is a big trend I think we're going to see in the decade ahead, is manual jobs starting to go. The other side, other big employer, of course, in supermarkets is restocking the shelves. And Amazon, of course, in their distribution centres already uses robots for moving stock around. So, you know, when this comes to this country, it is going to have an impact.
Disruption coming big time. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Peter Marks, he's our regular technology guy. He's an app developer. You can also hear him as a regular on RN's Download This Show. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:30.